Welcome to this intermediate Ableton Live 12 lesson on slicing a jungle break into an old-school rave-style break roll. In this session, we're taking a classic breakbeat and turning it into something tighter, more urgent, and way more usable in a modern drum and bass arrangement. The goal is that tense, skittering, pushing energy you hear in jungle and rave-influenced DNB, where the drums feel like they're dragging the whole track forward. This is not about just dropping a loop on the grid and hoping it works. We're going to slice it, control it, shape the timing, add swing, build density, and process it so it still punches through the mix without losing that human bounce. Start by choosing the right break. You want a break with character. Amen style breaks are obvious choices, but think breaks, hot pants style breaks, or any dusty live loop with strong ghost notes and snare movement can work really well. The break needs to have detail in the transients, because if the source is flat, the sliced version will feel flat too. And if it's too noisy, that's fine too, but you'll need to be more careful with editing and cleanup later. Drag the break into an audio track in Ableton Live 12 and warp it properly. If it's a full loop with a more musical feel, Complex Pro can be a good starting point. If it's very rhythmic and full of sharp transients, Beats Mode may give you better results. Make sure the segment BPM is set correctly so the loop locks to your project tempo. If the break starts sounding smeared or pitchy, don't force it. Try a different warp mode and keep the transients as clean as possible. Once the loop is behaving, right-click the clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. In the slicing options, use transient-based slicing so Ableton creates a drum rack with each hit separated onto pads. That's the big move here, because now you're not stuck with one rigid loop. You can resequence individual hits, build fills, leave out weak moments, and create your own rolling pattern instead of just repeating the original break. After slicing, take a moment to organize the pads. Audition the slices and identify what's what. Find the main kick, the main snare, the ghost snares, the hats, the little room hits, the flams, and any weird tail fragments. If the mapping is messy, don't panic. That's normal. Just spend a minute learning the rack before you start programming. If you want a smarter workflow, duplicate the rack and keep one version clean, one version for effects and stutters, and maybe one version for heavier processing. That way your original stays intact. Now we build the pattern. Open a MIDI clip and start with the anchors first. Put in the main kick and snare hit so the groove has a spine. Then fill in the ghost notes and little hat flicks around them. The key here is to keep the rhythm moving forward without overloading it. A good jungle roll has strong anchors and small details that create motion. It should feel like it's leaning into the next beat, not sitting still. For an old-school feel, don't make it too perfect. The snare should feel like it's pulling the loop forward. The ghost notes should add urgency, not clutter. If you're making a one-bar roll, a nice approach is to place a strong kick on the first beat, the snare on the backbeat, then use a few ghost hits between the main accents. Towards the end of the bar, you can increase the note density a little, maybe with a quick 1/16 or 1/32 burst, so the phrase naturally builds. Next, add swing. This is a big part of making the break feel alive. Open the groove pool in Ableton and try a light MPC-style swing or shuffle groove. Don't overdo it. A little timing movement goes a long way. Usually, it works best if the main kick and snare stay more stable, while the hats and ghost notes carry the loose feel. If everything gets swung equally, the groove can start to wobble in a bad way. You want motion, not mush. Now humanize the velocities. This is where the slice starts sounding like a living drum part instead of a looped machine. Keep the main snare strong. Lower the ghost notes a bit. Vary repeated hats so they don't sound identical. And when you're building into a transition, gradually raise the velocity of the faster hits so the energy climbs instead of staying flat. That little rise in intensity is a huge part of the jungle feel. Once the basic groove is working, it's time to bring in the rave pressure. This is where you build tension with density. As you move toward the end of the bar or the end of a phrase, add more frequent hits. Start with 1/16 notes, then maybe a few 1/32 notes, then some short stutters or chopped fragments. The idea is that the break feels like it's accelerating even if the tempo stays the same. If you want a classic pre-drop moment, try increasing note density in the last one or two beats, opening a filter, and sending a little more signal into reverb or delay. That gives you the sense of a lift, like the track is about to launch. Now let's process it with stock Ableton devices. DrumBus is a great starting point. Use it for punch, weight, and a bit of control drive. Keep the drive moderate. A little crunch can help, but don't crush the transient. If the break already has a lot of low end, be careful with the boom control. A touch of transient emphasis can help the hit snap. Saturator is another solid choice. Soft clip-on, a few dB of drive, and then match the output so you're not just getting louder, you're getting richer. EQ8 is where you clean up the mud and make room for the bass. If the brake is fighting the sub, gently high-pass the very bottom. If the mids are boxy, trim around the low-mid range. And if the hats get too sharp, tame the high-end a little, so the brake stays exciting without becoming painful. Blue compressor can help if you want the rack to feel cohesive, but use it lightly. You want just a few dB of gain reduction, enough to bind the slices together without flattening the life out of them. Echo and reverb are more for transition moments and fills. A short, filtered delay or a controlled reverb tail can make the roll feel bigger without washing out the groove. Just remember to keep the low end out of the reverb return, or the whole thing can get muddy fast. If the sliced brake is doing the heavy lifting, you can reinforce it with a top loop, a hat layer, or a shaker loop. Just be careful not to clutter the high end. If your main brake already has plenty of hats, only add a top layer if it's ecked properly and actually serves the groove. In a dense D&B mix, clarity matters. The brake needs to be felt as much as heard. For arrangement, think about the roll as a tension tool. It's especially effective in an 8-bar intro, a 4-bar pre-drop, or a transition between one groove and another. Start sparse, then increase the density. Let the brake evolve over time. In the build-up, automate filter cutoff, reverb send, delay feedback, or even the drum bus drive. Then, right before the drop, you can create impact by briefly stripping things back, maybe even leaving a tiny gap, so the next hit lands harder. Our really important teacher tip here. Don't overslice just because you can. If every little transient is chopped and resequenced, the groove can lose its bounce. Sometimes a cleaner roll feels faster than a crowded one. And if a slice sounds weak on its own, don't immediately pile on more processing. Try layering just that hit with a different fragment or a short transient instead. Keep the main snare character consistent through the phrase, and let the energy build around it. Another thing to watch is the low-end overlap. Classic breaks often have a bit of rumble, and that can be part of the charm. But if it starts fighting the sub, your drop loses impact. So check the brake in context, mute the bass and ask yourself if the roll still feels exciting on its own. Then bring the bass back in and listen for clashes around the low mids. If the brake still feels alive with the bass muted, that's usually a good sign. Here's a useful variation idea once the basic roll is working. Make a few short versions of the same phrase and swap them over the arrangement. One version can be more balanced. One can have more ghost notes, another can have a tighter end of bar push, and another can be stripped back. That way the listener hears movement even though the source material stays the same. You can also create a small fill zone at the end of every second bar, with one extra ghost snare, a delayed hit, or a tiny burst of faster notes. That makes the rhythm feel spoken rather than looped. For darker, heavier drum and bass, you can push the brake a bit more menacingly. Pitch it down slightly if it suits the source. Keep the hats darker. Use a touch of saturation and drum bus for grit. If you want a nastier digital edge, a little redux can work, but use it carefully. You can also sidechain the brake subtly against the kick or sub if the low end is getting crowded. The aim is to keep the drum roll moving forward without stepping on the bass. A great practice exercise is to build a 4-bar transition from one sliced brake, one extra hat layer, and stock devices only. Start with a 2-bar groove. Make sure the snare is clear, the ghost notes have swing, and the rhythm has room to breathe. Then repeat it for 4 bars, and in bars 3 and 4, increase the density, open a filter, and add a short reverb tail on the last bar. Bounce it and listen against a sub. If it feels like it's pulling you into the drop, you've got it. So to recap, the winning formula is, choose a break with character, slice it to MIDI, build around the kick and snare, use swing and velocity to humanize it, increase note density for tension, and process it lightly so the groove survives. If you do that, you'll have a sliced jungle break roll with proper old-school rave pressure that can sit under a D&B drop, drive a transition, or power an entire intro section. That's a seriously useful technique to keep in your jungle and drum and bass toolkit. Once you get the feel for it, you'll be able to turn almost any strong break into something that moves, builds, and hits with attitude.